Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where scientists study the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to our monthly look at critical thinking skeptic check. This episode, Busting Myths with Adam Savage. And if you like this and you would like to hear more Skeptic Check or other Big Picture Science episodes, well, you'll find them in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer listening to over-the-air radio because someone embalmed your smartphone in duct tape, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like the show.
And if you listen to the show via iTunes, well, we invite you to leave a review of the show on our iTunes page.
And to reach us directly with your comments, I'll be sure to throw in some faint praise. Email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
All right, you guys are looking good. Sarah, he's going to hit that hill.
There goes the rockets.
Wow.
I have no idea what happened. All I see is smoke.
Skeptic Check is brought to you thanks to a generous grant from the Trimberger Family Foundation. At the Trimberger Family Foundation, we hold that skepticism is a lamp that lights the way to truth. Trimberger.org.
Motor City Brass Band would like to invite you to join us on Sunday, June 5th for the event From the Pen Of, directed by Craig Strand. Motor City Brass Band will take the stage at 3 p.m. at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, located at 15801 Michigan Avenue. For more information regarding this event, please call 313-943-2354. For a chance to win a free pair of tickets to this event, please stay tuned to WHFR and listen for your favorite DJ to announce a contest during select shows. For more information about the ticket giveaway, please call us at 313-845-9676.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Foodies on the 5th. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn Station Making Waves, and I must... There we go. We got the music going here. The views and opinions expressed on Foodies on the 5th are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Hi, I'm Lynn, your host, and today we are discussing all things culinary, but especially Camp Henry and a brand new volunteer program that involves some of the chef students. So, Steve and Jeff, thank you so much for being part of Foodies on the 5th, and we will introduce in just a moment. Welcome so much to Foodies on the 5th. Chef Jeff, let's get started with you. Tell us a little bit about you and your involvement with the culinary program here at Henry Ford College, but especially the focus on Camp Henry and what that's all about.
Yeah, I'm Chef Jeffrey Well. I'm a chef instructor with Henry Ford College, and I work in the hospitality department. As far as the Camp Henry goes, I'm the instructor that's been putting it together. This is going to be our second year, so it's pretty exciting. We have another additional thing going on. So the first time we did it, it was just strictly an overview of baking and cooking. And this year we decided to expand it based on the popularity of the students, and we're adding an additional camp that's strictly baking only, and it's pretty exciting. We're going to see how that turns out.
Okay. What age group? What are the ages of the kids involved in this?
The kids that we're aiming for, we're targeting strictly middle school kids.
Okay. And help me. What kind of age group is that?
Oh, that's hard for me to know.
I'm sorry.
It's been so long since I was in middle school that I just know middle school. That's
okay.
What we're aiming
all
for.
Right. So that's sixth grade, right? Six, seven, eight?
Yeah. Roughly about between the ages of 10, and we kind of max out just at about 15. So,
okay.
kind of dipping a little into high school, but not quite.
Okay. All right. What are the kids going to learn? What is cooking for Camp Henry? What are you cooking?
Well, we start with the fundamentals. What's really cool about Camp Henry is that we don't try to water it down and make it kid-friendly. We actually take a lot of the elements that you see in our culinary program in the introduction cooking and baking classes, and we roll it into the Camp Henry curriculum so that they're getting an actual feel of what it is to be in a professional kitchen. Because a lot of times you see with kids cooking classes, it's just really basic stuff, and they don't get that full kitchen experience.
Mm-hmm. So in effect, you're really taking middle school kids, if you will, and treating them like the adults that are in the college program. Is that a fair statement?
Right. Yeah. That's exactly the idea. It's just instead of doing like a lot harder vegetables, one of the issues that I ran into last year is I didn't realize that for a younger child, carrots might not be the best thing to use, and there was a lot of close calls. So now we're thinking more of you know, still doing the same basic concept, but doing softer foods, maybe prepping some things a little further on so that they still get the experience, but not the stress that you would in a professional kitchen.
Okay. All right. Cutting back on the finger cuts and that sort of thing.
Right.
With regards to the program, it's a 2-week program. How many hours per day?
Actually, it's only a 1-week program.
Oh, okay.
And so the first week is just going to be the Camp 5101, which is a brief overview of cooking and baking.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting the overall experience. That one, I got to double check my schedule, but I know it's really early in the morning.
Okay.
And I'm with the students until about 2. I'm thinking about 8 to 2. So
okay.
It's a pretty long day.
Yeah.
It'll be really interesting. And then the second week is going to be the baking camp.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's focused strictly on baking, the basic elements of bread production, as well as desserts. And so that one, it's going to be running during the same time, but it's going to be a different program.
Okay. All right. The best part of cooking and prepping and all that stuff is when you get to test what you're working on. And are the kids able to have those foods for lunch, or... How does the end product work out?
Well, the ultimate goal of every single day is that they work for pretty much their lunch. And so they have to make everything that they're going to be eating that day. And then they work a little bit, too, to prepare for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So the students get to see the start process from the beginning and see it all the way until the end. And then they get to taste everything they do. And what's really nice is we work little elements of like build your own pizza or build your own pasta. So they're actually getting hands-on with that experience and getting to eat what they're creating.
Okay. Wow. And then that's at the end of the day?
Yep, at the end of the day. And one interesting thing is that we worked it so that on the very last day of the Camp 5101, the cooking camp, they're going to be able to work in the kitchen alongside with the adult students. And so on that Thursday, they're going to be actually experiencing one of our normal international buffet production days.
Okay. Wow. That's that's pretty amazing. Do you have any requirements for the kids coming in and any kind of pre-something that they've had to take or that they've had to learn or that they have to know before they come in, or are they coming in absolutely raw?
No, they're pretty much fresh. So I walk into the classroom not expecting anything, and I treat it like it were a beginning class so that when I get into there, there's no expectations. Because you run into that issue where you think, oh, you know, people coming in here, they're into cooking, so they're going to know how to cook. Well, that's usually not the case.
Right, right. What about whenever you go into a restaurant or virtually any food establishment, you see that little ServSafe certificate up on the wall. Are you handling sanitation and those types of rules? Are they learning that also?
Yeah, the first day we go over it, just very basic things like how to sanitize tables, how to properly wash your hands. And throughout the entire week, we actually reinforce those rules. We teach them why we do things a certain way. We show them how to properly clean. So it's not like we're trying to lecture them for an entire day, because that's not what they're there for. But they do get that experience where we tell them, stop, you know, get your finger out of your nose. You got to wash your hands. And then, you know, you just reinforce these habits and kind of just work it into there so that it's a lesson, but it's not necessarily something that's being shoved in their faces.
All right. Bottom line, you're still working with 10-year-olds.
Right, yeah.
So what about the, I know that the whole culinary program, which is much longer than 1 week, you have students who learn the sanitation, which we just talked about. They also learn how to serve and basically what I guess you'd call the front of the house, serving, clearing, filling water glasses, that sort of thing. Are the kids exposed to any of the front of the house?
Yep. On that Thursday, when we actually go into the International Buffet, they spend some time in the kitchen, but for the most part, all the work that happens during the buffet is out in the front of the house. And so the students that come into that camp, they actually get to handle dealing with guests, cooking in front of guests, clearing tables, getting drink orders, and pretty much the whole front of the house experience. And what's really interesting, I didn't realize that was going to happen, was the kids absolutely loved that last day.
Oh, wow.
Interacting with the guests, talking, putting on a server's apron, carrying around a tray. I'm not sure why, but that seemed to be their favorite thing to do.
Their graduation.
Probably because they've never done it.
Yep, that's true. I mean, yeah, you go out to dinner with your parents and you see the servers walking around, mm-hmm. and they're probably really curious about how that all works out.
Okay. They're not, they're buffets, so they're not, there's no order taking, but there's order taking insofar as could I have a lemon for my water, that sort of thing, and they're able to handle all that.
Right. Well, it goes a little further than that.
Okay.
The older kids, usually the ones that can handle cooking with open flames and stuff mm-hmm. like that, those are the ones who we kind of throw them with some of the older students, and they work in action stations. So they're making a lot of foods to order for the guest right in front of the guest, and so they get that experience. But there's also the drink orders, and there's manning some stations like the dessert stations, knowing exactly what your product is, being able to handle telling the guest what the proper ingredients are in there,
mm-hmm.
Any allergy concerns. So the experience is there. It's not the same as if they were actually working in an a la carte restaurant, mm-hmm. but they get to get a hands-on experience.
Wow. Tell me about the preparation stations, the flaming desserts and things. Or is it desserts or entrees or what's flaming?
Well, there are some desserts, and that's usually just a small little offshoot of the entire dessert table.
Okay.
Usually the main features are the action stations off the main buffet. And those items are usually featured protein items, like a roast of some mm-hmm. type, usually maybe some type of starch, so the pasta station. And so we get various action stations throughout the buffet so that there's a little variety, there's a lot more interest in interaction with students.
Excuse me. I know my family was a little nervous the Christmas Eve. I showed up with my own little burner announcing that I was doing Bananas Foster, and we all lived. So flaming is good. Flaming is good. Okay, so so far as setting tables, things like proper silverware placement and that, are they taught that?
Well, as far as the buffets go, that is a pretty basic thing. For a buffet, the easiest thing to do is to have just prepared silverware.
Mm-hmm.
On any normal day in the restaurant, if you were to come in during a normal week service during the fall and winter semester, what you see is a lot of the silverware being put out in the proper manner, mm-hmm. the formal manner, and the silverware that you need for the sequence of service. With a buffet, it's not so much, mainly because you don't know what the customer is going to eat, and you might not even have time to set the table for the next seating of customers coming in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this would be a great time to move into the buffets, because we talked about that a little bit, but tell us extensively what all is going on there.
Well, during the spring semester, the international buffets, which have started, it's part of the international cooking class. And so every week, we started last week, and then we're going to have four more. So each Thursday we have one. Every week is a feature of a certain region or a style of cooking that's not usually served in the restaurant, so the students are getting that experience of international cooking. And so we put on these buffets, and it's just pretty much a little party every Thursday where you get to try something new. This Thursday coming up at the usual time, I think, is at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
we're going to be having a Hawaiian luau, and the instructor that runs that class is actually going to be roasting a whole pig.
Okay. Where does this happen? I saw that on the agenda, if you will. Where does this happen? Is it in the kitchen, or is it in a pit outside, or how are you handling that?
Well, we actually bring in a big roaster, so it has to be brought in, hitched up to a vehicle, and brought in early in the morning so that it can be finished by 11 o'clock.
Right. There was a place, it was a culinary training area that's not around anymore in Garden City, and she was training kids to do that. That was one of the items that they had, and it was like 15 hours roasting time or some such. They had to start the night before and then run it for all those hours.
Yeah, well, usually with large cuts of meat, or not even large cuts of meat, that's a whole animal.
Yeah.
It takes a little longer because you're talking about a lot of weight and you're talking a lot about a lot of meat. Mm-hmm. And so in order to get it to the proper doneness and the right tenderness, it's a lot of low and slow cooking to get that nice flavor, mm-hmm. that nice juiciness coming out of there.
About how long is it? You're open 11 till 1, so it needs to be done at least by 10, I would think. So is this an overnight process?
It can be overnight, but I believe, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not the instructor in charge of it,
but
I know for a fact that he gets in really early. And by the time I come in and start helping out, he already looks like he's ready for a nap.
Okay, so this is maybe like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay. So what's the presentation of that? Does anybody see the pig roasting, or is that all behind the scenes?
That's usually behind the scenes.
Okay.
What happens with that is that the pig is just so big that there's really not that much room on the table for it. So once it's done being cooked, we break it down in the back of the kitchen. But mm-hmm. we do save the head, and we make sure the guests know that it was a whole pig. We'll put that on display. Probably put a cute apple in its mouth. Make it all dolled up.
Okay. All right. And then people, it's sliced to order for the patrons?
Right. Usually when you're pulling the meat off the pig, mm-hmm. it tends to fall apart. There's just so much fat, and it becomes so juicy that it's hard to keep whole cuts.
Sure.
But the students do manage to get larger pieces, and that gets cut down smaller for whatever the guest wants.
Okay. All right. And you've done this before for these international buffets, or is this the first time there's a pig involved?
Oh, this is a reoccurring feature. This is one of the more popular buffets just because of the experience, number one, and number two, how often do you get roasted pig?
Hawaii or here?
Yeah.
Okay. So people do come back. Well, it is a unique thing. Absolutely. Okay. What's next? How do you top that?
How do you top that? Well, we have a couple more buffets coming up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to top, but when you take a look at all the different regions that we cover, there's always going to be something that you like. We have European flavors coming up, and that focuses on Central and Eastern Europe. We've got, what else? We got the just overall international buffet. Yeah, the all-you-can-eat international buffet is just flat out, you know, no holds bar, whatever we feel like doing. So that always turns out to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more I'm forgetting.
I think there's Scandinavian, isn't there?
Scandinavian. I think that's the, you know,
Latin American.
Latin American, right. So New World Spanish, and that is focusing on the Americas as far as Latin American food goes. So that's really interesting. And on top of that, you know, we focused a lot on just food. The savory side, because that's the side that I come from. But a lot of the guests that come in, they really like to focus on the dessert. The dessert is a really big feature as far as these international buffets go. When you walk into the restaurant area, before you even step into the restaurant, you see just a large table full of gorgeous desserts done by our pastry chef. And so a lot of times people, when they come into the buffet, first thing they do is come and eat the dessert first. And then they go and have dinner, or lunch. But, you know, if you have a sweet tooth, we got something for you. If you're in a roasted meats, we have something for you. So it's, you're going to like something, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How's that t-shirt go? Life is uncertain, eat dessert first.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? The European flavors we talked about, Spanish New World. Okay, the shrimp. I don't know what to do with that. Shrimp kvatch? Kvitch?
Oh, kvitch. Ceviche.
Kvitch. Oh.
Marinated.
Yeah, that's a very interesting. I wouldn't say you'd have to be brave to try it,
okay.
But instead of actually cooking the shrimp, it's an acid. You usually use some type of acid, like a lemon juice or any type of
mm-hmm,
juice.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of cooking it gets marinated in the acid. And the acid actually, I don't want to call it cooking because that's not really what it does, but it denatures the protein so that you have that cooked feeling out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to describe. It's just succulent, yeah, because the moisture is not being cooked out of it. It's not being caramelized.
I've heard other fishes being treated that way with lime juice and what have you.
Right, and that's usually really popular with Latin cuisine.
Okay, all right. Why? It's historically?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I just know it tastes really good.
Okay.
It's a delicacy in restaurants. You pay big bucks for that.
Oh, yeah. And how long does that take to cook, for lack of a better term?
It does not take long at all.
Okay.
If you're doing it in small batches, usually you marinate it, you toss it in the cooler for a minute, finish something else, and then pull it back out.
Oh, okay.
Plate it up.
So this isn't an overnight kind of thing by any stretch?
No, it's, you want to do it fresh, you want to do it made to order, technically.
Sure.
So that it's just ready to go.
Wow. That sounds, so this is a great place to experiment.
Yeah. With the buffet, like I said, you're going to find something that you like. And what's really nice about a buffet, you pay the one price and you can eat as much as you want. You can try whatever you want. You don't like it, you don't have to finish it and feel guilty that you spent money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really great about a buffet, is that it takes people out of their comfort zone and it allows people to try whatever they want to try without that feeling of, what if I don't like it?
Right. Try a little bit, go back and get more if it's good, and not if it's not.
Right.
To your taste. To your taste.
Exactly.
There was something else I saw on there. Carnitas? Carnitas?
Oh, that is carnitas. That is marinated meats.
Okay.
And so it's marinated and it's slow cooked in, I want to say marinade, but juices. There's all sorts of things in there.
Braised.
And it's a nice braised meat. By the time it comes out, it's infused with flavors, and it's, I don't know how to describe it. It's just really good.
Stew on a tortilla.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So very tender, succulent meats is what you're talking about.
And
wow.
Full flavor because it's been cooking and it's marinated the whole time.
Yeah. Wow. Let's see, what else do we have? We have the European flavors. Spätzle, I understand. Carved round of beef, I understand.
Cool.
And then the international brunch. Now, brunches are always an adventure. So tell me about the brunch, because that's the last one, which is June 23rd, and it's the conclusion of everything. Students have had all kinds of experience by this point, and you know what worked and what didn't work in the restaurant itself. So talk to the brunch.
Well, this one's a little more exciting than the rest because we're not really limited to what we can put out.
Okay.
And so this is the time where it's just whatever you want to do, whatever sounds good, maybe put it on this buffet. One of the biggest features to this buffet is that there's an omelet station.
Okay.
And with an omelet station, usually when you go out to a brunch buffet, you kind of don't think too much about it. It's just one of those really nice features that pop up, made-to-order omelet. But for the student, it's really important because of the fact that to be a really good, successful chef, at the very least, you need to be really good at making eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get to have that experience of just knocking out omelets. Me, personally, with my catering background, omelets is just one of those things where it's, you know, you just do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But for a student that's just starting out, it's a learning experience, for lack of another term for that.
Okay.
So the omelets, very popular, very big thing to do. And just in general, this is the last buffet, this is the last hurrah before we shut down until fall, and so you really don't hold back with something like that.
Okay. So we'll have shrimp, we'll have cheese, we'll have peppers, we'll have onions.
As far as the omelets go,
mm-hmm.
Not entirely sure. Usually the traditional toppings, yes,
okay.
The cheese, the pepper, the onions. As far as the meat goes,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't want to say anything and regret that. But I'm hoping there is a meat, because I'm really looking forward to this omelet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shrimp, yeah. Shrimp and jalapeno is wonderful. So, okay. And then will we have dessert items also?
Yep. With every buffet, there's always dessert items okay. that are put out. And again, that's going to be another thing where you're going to get those people that come in and it's going to be dessert first. And then you kind of look at them like, well, you know, it's still kind of morning. Isn't it a bit too early for sugar? But I mean, it's a buffet, you know, do what you want, sure. eat what you want and be happy.
Go home and take a nap.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks so much. Anything else you want to tell me about the kids?
Well, one really cute feature. So if you want to see this, the campers, the kids, when they come out, they each get a t-shirt and it's designed after the chef coat that the culinary department has as far as a uniform for all the students and instructors. And so the kids, they get a t-shirt that looks exactly like our chef coats, mm-hmm. but it's a little more friendlier. It's not as hot. So they get to run around and look cute in these chef t-shirts.
Right.
And yeah, if you want to see that, definitely come out to the, I want to say the third week of June. So that would be...
The European on the 16th?
The 16th. Either that or the last one.
Last one is the brunch on the 23rd.
Yeah, I believe it's the 23rd. So that Thursday is when the students are going to be coming out and they're going to be serving okay. and they're going to have their really cool shirts on. They'll have little chef hats too. So
okay.
it's really adorable. It's one of those picture moments that parents really love to come out and mm-hmm. shoot for and hanging up on the wall.
I know registration started a while ago. Is there still time? Is there still room?
Last that I checked, it was pretty tight on enrollment. I think we might have had one spot left in each one, and okay. that was about a week ago.
Okay.
I don't want to say that there's still room, but the seats are pretty full.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone is curious about if there's still spots available, they can call. There's a contact information number as far as all the camps for Camp Henry, and they can ask to see if there's still any room available okay. in that camp.
Okay. Do you have that number handy?
No, but if you go on to the website, the hfcc.edu website, you can bring up the Camp Henry information. And at the bottom, there should be contact information as far as any questions for those camps and any other camp that we're offering this summer.
Okay. Keep talking and I'll keep looking.
Okay. Well, as far as that goes, well, as far as the registration goes, if you go to hfcc.edu, if you go to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see just a link, Camp Henry. I believe it's an article. Does it look familiar? Do you see that?
There we go.
Yep. Yep, and if you bring up that article, it's at the very bottom of the page. You scroll down to the bottom, and you should have contact information right on there.
I do. The contact number is 313-317-6600, and the webpage is mtech, M-T-E-C, at hfcc.edu. And let's see, that's there's also a... mtech.hfcc.edu/classes-training/camp-henry. So all kinds of ways to find out about that. And you said, tell me a little bit about the history, because you said last year was the first year?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty much, I can't even remember, it was such a blur. But My director came up to me and he asked if I wanted to take this on.
Okay.
And so for the most part, it was just trying to put it together and get some thought put into it. And he was bringing up all these topics. He's been to quite a few conventions, and he had some material as far as kids camps go. And we were also looking at anything that has already been put out there and how we could do that better.
Okay.
And so that's how it pretty much developed, is that from what we've seen, what we know, and what we know from teaching adults, we formulated a camp that was based around kids, but not watered down, because we wanted that full experience. And so that's pretty much how it developed. And as far as that camp went, it was so popular, all the kids were asking if I was going to put another one on in a couple of weeks. I said, no, this is the only one that we're doing. And mm-hmm. they were just saying, well, could you have another one next year, maybe two? And I was like, well, I'll see what I can do.
Well, that, yeah, when they keep asking for more, that's the best compliment you can get.
Right. So that means I must have done something right.
Yeah. Camp Henry in general, was that for, there are what, 9 classes, I think, something like that, 9 different classes. There's sewing, I know, and there's a nursing program and a number of different things. So did all of it come together last year for the first time, or are you joining something that was established a few years ago?
As far as that history goes, I've heard a little bit about it. I'm not entirely sure, but I know that the kids camps, we didn't used to offer a large variety of kids camps,
okay.
and they pretty much came about as a, you know, why aren't we doing this? This makes sense. You know, the community's asking for it,
mm-hmm.
students,
mm-hmm.
the kids need something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that came about out of a, you know, well, the college, we serve the community, we serve the public, and so that's how pretty much Camp Henry developed.
Okay. And you mentioned that the buffets are sort of the wrap-up of the school year. Is there anything happening during the summer, or is the culinary area pretty much off for the summer and then back in the fall?
During that time period, usually, well, you don't want to be in that kitchen in July.
Okay.
Yes, kitchens are naturally hot,
oh, yeah.
but as far as the learning environment goes, that's probably not the best way to go.
Gotcha.
And usually you need that time to kind of just decompress. We run so busy during the school year with all our events and all the cool things that we do that it's nice to take a step back, and then when you come back, you become energized and you're really excited for the
mm-hmm.
next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that registration for the adult students is open right now.
Yep.
Okay, and classes begin August or September?
August, towards okay. the end of August.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the way I remembered it, too. Okay, thank you so much. And next up, we're going to talk to Steve. Let's take a little musical interlude, and
what's
we'll be
that item
that right
they...
back. And we are back. Theme music for Foodies on the Fifth is the music from Chocolat, the movie. And It's always a I don't know, kind of an exciting little bouncy thing that kind of gets you going and thinking about food and what have you. Okay. So next up, we have Steve Dubkowski. Did I get that right?
Sure.
Okay. Right. And
in Polish, it's Dubkowski, but okay. Dubkowski is
fine. All right. Introduce yourself and tell us what you're all about with regards to the volunteer program.
I'm a culinary student here at Henry Ford College. I returned to Henry Ford after 50 years.
Okay.
To study something that I really liked rather than what I had to do in the early 60s. And as in the course of being a student here, one of the things I came to the conclusion is something that's important for the students is to get as wide an outside experience as possible cooking. And that just doesn't mean working at a McDonald's or working at the Dearborn Inn or any other restaurant or catering hall. But there is a need to have a wide number of experiences. And what got me thinking along this line of a volunteer group of students is I was filling out applications for scholarships a few months ago, and invariably they ask, what do you do? What kind of volunteer work do you do? And it becomes apparently very, very important for making decisions who gets scholarships and who doesn't and how much they get.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the conclusion that I could be a benefit to other students by trying to engage them into volunteering for charitable groups and community groups that have food events, banquets, church festivals, ox roasts, whatever. Wherever food and beverage is served, we could be volunteers at no pay in order to help learn new techniques and gain better abilities, but also serve the broader community.
Mm-hmm.
We're students, and as students, we're supported by taxpayers. And most students don't recognize that, but the taxpayers pay the bill, whether the money comes from the state of Michigan or from Detroit, Dearborn Public Schools. So I think it's important that they experience this. So what we're trying to do is in the summer months lay the groundwork for students to be able to volunteer some time during the school year as well as the summer doing charitable work. And in order to showcase their skills that they've developed here at Henry Ford College in the culinary area, and also indicate to the broader community that the students are appreciative of the tax monies that are used to educate them and to train them for their chosen field. So that's basically, you know, how I came about coming up with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, initially here, it's going to be student-run, meaning the school is not supporting it, not providing faculty advisors. If we, after a year or two or 3 years, because the school now has a four-year program, a bachelor's program in restaurant hotel management, if after 2 or 3 years you can't go out and not embarrass yourself in a kitchen, then there's something really wrong. So it's we want to do it on our own,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because ultimately we're going to go out in the world of work, and we're going to have to do it on our own anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't have a chef instructor hanging around, so you can ask him, should I put more salt in or should I use more flavoring and so forth. You have to be able to stand up on your own and do it.
Right.
So this is, I think, a way to encourage people to gain confidence and be able to actually perform on the job.
Okay. When did this group form?
Well, it's in the process here in the last month.
Okay. This is very new.
Right now, there's myself and three other people who volunteered.
Okay.
Most of the culinary students are not here for the summer or the spring semester. I think we'll be able to involve more people in it, more students in it, starting in the September semester.
Okay.
But this summer, we're hoping that we're going to be able to work at some church festivals, and hopefully the Dearborn Homecoming. But this is a new concept for us and for the students coming from Henry Ford College. And it's going to take a while for people to get accustomed to us volunteering and not be uneasy.
Sure, exactly. With regards to homecoming, what kind of plans did you have for that? Are you helping out some of the groups that are already there, or do your own thing?
I contacted the public relations department in Dearborn City Government, and they put out an email to those people, those organizations that are having food booths or beverage booths, and with my name and email address and phone number. That was done about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to follow up on it this week to find out. I want the list. I want the names. I want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe in sending out email blasts and have it be effective.
Yeah,
you got to follow up, and you got to perhaps meet people face-to-face. And
put a human on the other side.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely, to give us some legitimacy.
But you might be grabbing some of that Dearborn firefighters' corn on the cob for us at some point.
We'd be happy to.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's the purpose.
Right.
And, you know, everybody, it's a lot of hard work to work in the food business. And a lot of organizations, their members get tired.
Mm-hmm.
They get burned out year after year after year. And if we can supplement their volunteers with a few students and publicly known that we're students at Henry Ford, that would give more credibility, I think, to the culinary program.
Because
the biggest secret in there are two big secrets in town. The culinary department and the 5101 restaurant is the one secret. The other is why our streets are, the chuck holes are not being filled. But in any event, that's a big secret. But I grew up in this town, and I had never visited. I never visited until 3 years ago, 5101.
Okay.
I just never did. I was always working, and, you know, it never occurred to me to come. And so this is a real jewel.
Mm-hmm.
That Dearborn as a community and all of Western Wayne County has, and people are unaware of it. As Chef Lau was talking about the international buffets, these buffets are perfect for professional eaters.
Yes.
I mean, if you like good food, you got it. And the prices, I mean, it's $12.95. I mean, you can't beat that.
Right.
And there's no sales tax because schools don't have to pay sales tax under state law.
Right.
And to have a complete meal, all you can eat, with really good ingredients, not substandard ingredients and preparation, this is a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage everybody to attend.
I know. Well, the radio station has a similar challenge. You have students on campus who don't know that there's a radio station on campus, which is kind of mind-boggling since we're in the building with the food. And certainly at some point somebody's going to hit one of these places and get a cup of coffee or something. And I talked to a couple guys at a tire store recently, both grads from Henry Ford, and I said something about the radio station. I handed out pens, and they had no idea. One thought he had heard something, the other one had no idea that such a thing existed. So 5101 is exactly the same place, and the food is incredible. And I've tried to explain to people that for $8.95, again, no tax, $8.95, you have an incredible buffet. You have soup. You have
$12.95.
No, for the buffet, yes, but for dinner, regular
dinner. Oh,
yeah,
dinner.
For regular dinner during the season. I'm sorry, I think I said buffet. But you have the salad bar. You have soup, you have an entree, a starch, and a vegetable, and it's a beautiful meal, again, with good ingredients, home-baked breads, all that sort of thing, and it's just incredible.
I have an old friend of mine I went to high school with, and he lives in Grosse Pointe Farms, and last week he and his wife came to the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
and they normally eat at the Grosse Pointe Yacht Club.
Okay.
They came to the buffet.
Okay.
And because the food is good and the price is right, and they had an appointment on this side of town, and they were here.
Mm-hmm.
So you can attract outsiders, but the folks here living in Dearborn Heights, in listening range of the station, you really should stop by, because you shouldn't be fearful of having to walk a great deal of distance. There's a parking lot right by the restaurant.
Exactly, yeah.
And you really, it's a wonderful value.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And the desserts are good. You know, they are good.
All the food is amazing. And I noticed, we'll divert just a little bit, within the past year, I think it was, there was an emphasis on the fermented foods, which is a big discovery, that the stuff that's been around for thousands of years is actually good for you. And there's been an emphasis to put more of those items on the buffets, on the salad bar.
The food items normally prepared here often are quite unusual, in the sense you don't have them regularly in restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's about 15 items a restaurant can do, and French fry this, French fry that.
Right.
And, you know, everything's French fried. Here, you'll have foods prepared with different cooking techniques. And they, of course, taste different, and they have a different texture. And for the price that they charge here, it's something that people should take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage people to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. About the volunteers in general, if somebody listening is part of a church or a community group or what have you and would like to have some help with one of their projects, they should contact you directly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Could we have your contact information?
Sure. My email address is Steve, STEVEDOB, 2009@yahoo.com. And my phone number is 313-918-5389.
Okay. And again, give us an example of some of the groups that you might be interested in working with.
Well, I'm trying to arrange to do something with St. Anselm's mm-hmm. Parish, Catholic Parish here on Ford Road and Outer Drive.
Mm-hmm.
They have a parish festival. A very close friend of mine who's a Muslim, I gave him information for him to give to his imam
mm-hmm.
at his mosque, because it's a holy month for Muslims are coming up, Ramadan.
Ramadan, okay.
And hopefully I will meet with the religious leader and, offer our services.
Mm-hmm.
But we're dependent on people calling us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after all, I am a student. I am not in a position to put out a big public relations operation here. I can't buy time on cable TV or,
right.
And send out direct mail. If this idea is going to fly, well, it's going to fly. The question is how long it's going to fly and how broad it's going to be. It's dependent on people calling us and saying, we got this event, you know, what can you do to help us? And we'll say, what is it that you're doing? And mm-hmm. we'll see if we can work it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. And I'm sure it's learning both ways.
Because
if you're working with an Arabic group and they're going to know the members of those groups, I'm thinking of probably a lot of the mothers in that group are probably going to be able to teach you how to do grape leaves better than you know how to do grape leaves. It'll be a learning experience that way too.
As a student, you have to walk delicately when you have people teaching you what to cook.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to learn, not to...
Right.
Push them.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but you're right. It's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
But it's preparing food. Some of these mosques may have 700-800 people for dinner.
Wow.
So they really have to turn out a lot of food fast.
Yes.
And in a banquet setting. So while we as students here work on banquets, 150, 200 people, when you go to 700-800 people, you separate the men from the boys real fast. I mean, it's big mob of people. And it has to work like clockwork. Because if it doesn't, you got angry, hungry people.
That's
so,
not
I mean,
good.
You have to learn these things because you learn by experience. You can't be lectured and you can't watch a video. The best way to learn is to do it. Obviously, make some mistakes, but you learn from the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn by mm-hmm. practicing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true in any occupation. And that's true certainly in cooking business.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That sounds like an exciting undertaking. It really does.
Well, we're going to try. Okay.
Right.
So I think it has some legs. And the good part about it, with Henry Ford having a four-year program now in restaurant and hotel management, which is fundamentally different from Michigan State's program in that the students come from a culinary background. They don't come from a business background.
Mm-hmm.
They come from a cooking background, a baking background, which is important in management because if you're going to manage a hotel or a large restaurant, you have to understand what is going on in the kitchen.
Right.
And recognize if things aren't working right, where the problem is. So it's going to be an interesting program as it develops. But with students coming here for 4 years, this volunteer program has a better chance of surviving simply because the students are here longer, and somewhere along the line, they'll volunteer. At
mm-hmm.
least that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hope.
I know it's really, really early in the process, but have you given any thought to doing things at holiday time, for example, working with either large groups that have kitchens where they serve a Thanksgiving meal or a Christmas meal, that kind of thing? Or do you have plans to do that on your own or coordinate something?
I don't think we're set up to handle it on our own. It's,
okay.
If some organization, some church or charity needs volunteers for those type of programs,
mm-hmm.
they would contact us.
Okay.
Or somehow we would find them,
mm-hmm.
and try to place people into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, I mean, several years ago, I volunteered for a while in a soup kitchen
mm-hmm.
in downtown Detroit, which I found interesting. You know, it's really interesting in this sense. My mother once told me back in the 1930s, she ran a soup kitchen on the west side of Detroit. Times were tough.
Sure.
And she was only working 20 hours a week, so she was working it as a volunteer. And I remember working there, and I said, my God, this thing's come full circle. Here I am, you know, many, many years later, doing the same thing my mother did. So it's these type of giving back to the community things, I think, are really important.
Very.
You can't always take from a community. You have to give something back.
Right.
And I think culinary students are in that position to share their knowledge with people and their enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try. That's
sure.
all we can do.
Sure. And I didn't mean to emphasize the Thanksgiving Christmas thing because that's what everybody knows. Hungry people only need food at Thanksgiving and Christmas. The rest of the year just sort of happens, and that is such a fallacy.
You know, interesting. I had a conversation with you about a week
mm-hmm.
and a half ago, and you mentioned that Wayne County out in Eloise,
yeah.
the old site of the general hospital out there.
Right.
Has a program for people who find themselves in between, or they're, as a result of a tragedy, a house burning down, or losing their home. They're living temporarily
mm-hmm.
Until they're permanently placed in housing.
Right.
And that on weekends, Saturday and Sunday, volunteers come in to mm-hmm. cook meals for these people.
Right.
And there's about 100 people involved in this, you know,
mm-hmm.
recipients.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a hell of an idea,
mm-hmm.
telling you the truth. Because what would be interesting is, when I asked her, I said, do they provide the food? And he said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that means the students would have to organize a menu, which is what we're taught in classes slowly but surely to do. And here, we're on the grill right here, you know.
Oh,
right,
sure.
The frying pan, we got to produce.
Yeah.
So if there's going to be 7 or 8 or 9 people, going out there to cook. We have to meet. We have to organize ourselves. Here's our ingredients. What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what you call a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it right, you're going to have 100 angry people.
Angry and hungry.
Angry and hungry. No, seriously, this is the application, the learning experience for students would be really important, really significant. And I really got excited when you told me. I said, mm-hmm. Oh, damn, this is a good idea. I like that. Because it forces us to really demonstrate what we've been learning in mm-hmm. the classroom and in the kitchens here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. There's so much need out there. There are so many people in need. So, in general, so much need. And it's absurd to me that anybody in America is hungry. That's crazy to me. That makes no sense. There's enough food to feed everybody. We just have to figure out how to do it.
I saw some interesting articles recently about food waste and wasting food in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And something at least 40% of the food that people purchase or is grown is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
It's just thrown away. It's not used,
right?
Or it spoils, or what have you. So the availability of food is not the problem. It's obviously getting into the mouths of the hungry people is
the
the concern.
Mm-hmm.
So, in any event, we have our program. It's standing up, and we have to take our first few steps before we get up and start running. And hopefully here in the next month or two, we'll be able to take a few steps towards success.
Right.
That's what we're up to.
And again, if anybody is part of a church or a service club like Kiwanis or one of those, please give Steve a call. And he has the hands to give you a hand and some expertise that maybe you don't have at your next barbecue. So give Steve a call at?
Phone number is 313-918-5389, or my email address, stevedob2009@yahoo.com.
Okay. Exciting stuff. All over the culinary area. I can't wait to see the chef coats. I have to make sure I see those little chef coats and those kids. And if you missed that part of the discussion, Chef Lau was talking about how the kids who are involved in the Camp Henry, both cooking and baking, yes, both sections, are able to get a T-shirt that has a silk screen on it of a chef coat. So it looks just like yours, only it doesn't carry the heat value.
Right.
And we have a couple minutes yet. Anything you'd like to add about the program, the buffets, any of the things going on in culinary?
Oh, there's just so much going on. Sometimes it feels like it's really hard to keep track because we have so many cool projects going on. But right now we're focused on the buffets. Come fall, we're going to open back up and we're going to be doing our regular a la carte service with a couple of buffets sprinkled in there. Ice carving team, we're looking at making a run for nationals again.
Oh, fantastic.
Baking club, always awesome stuff coming from there. So there's just so much going on that it's really hard to just pinpoint one thing mm-hmm. in general.
Thank you very much. Approximately when does 5101 reopen after the buffets? I know the students have to kind of gear up a little bit.
Right. So it's going to be sometime in September.
Okay.
Usually towards the end.
End of September, we can look for some wonderful dinners. Until that time, we have all of June to look at some incredible lunch buffets.
Right.
And eggs to order. Doesn't get any better than that. And Steve, any final words?
Well, this little concept that we're trying to develop is meant to give the culinary department a reputation for service, you know, not just training people to cook and they can be on TV slinging hash or whatever it is, but they actually serve the community, the broader community.
Right.
And if we're able to be successful in doing that, then that would be very good for the school, very good for the culinary department, and certainly good for the students. And the general public.
And your contact information one more time?
313-918-5389. Email address, stevedob2009 foodies2009@yahoo.com.
Okay. Thank you both very much for coming into Foodies on the Fifth. This has been... There we go. This has been a really, really interesting discussion. And positive, positive. It's so positive. Good things for little kids, good things for not so little kids. And again, Steve and Jeff, thanks so much for being here with Foodies on the Fifth. Thank you all for listening to Foodies on the Fifth, the show that's all about all things culinary with an emphasis on HFC's culinary program. The views and opinions expressed on Foodies on the Fifth are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.